The Whitney Western Art Museum at the Buffalo Bills Center of the West hosted explorer artist Tony Foster for a week. For the past 35 years, Foster has taken journeys to paint wild places, many of them in the American West. Before his residency at the Buffalo Bills Center, he went on a rafting journey on the Green River. Wyoming Public Radio's Camila Kudelska sat down with Foster to get a better understanding of what it means to be an explorer artist today.
I travel into wild places in order to make my work. All my paintings are about wilderness, and so that implies that you go to places where, okay, I've probably never been to anywhere where nobody's ever set foot, but I've certainly been to lots of places where very few people have ever been in order to make my paintings.
How did you get interested to become an explorer painter? I don't feel like that's very common to hear anymore these days.
No, I don't think I've ever seen it on any curriculum in school order to train to be one. I guess I got into it sort of by accident, really, in that my first exhibition in the States was about Henry Thoreau, the great 19th century philosopher and wilderness exponent. And I did an exhibition about the trails that he went on into the wilderness in Maine. And when I went up to Maine, I realized that something which is not really a European concept at all existed, which was that there are really extraordinarily wild places which had the appearance, at least, that nobody had ever been there before. And there was no mark of human beings on them at all. And this really became my life's inspiration, the idea that these wild places still existed with no marks of humans at all. And I've really continued with working on that theme ever since.
How does your process work?
Well, it's hard work, I'll tell you that. Because if you can imagine, you know, the average backpacking trip for most people consists of carrying a tent and a sleeping bag and a stove and some food. But for me, it consists of a tent, a sleeping bag, a stove, some food, a drawing board, an aluminium tube with rolled up sheets of watercolour paper, a paint box, some brushes, and all the paraphernalia that you need in order to make paintings on site. And so it's pretty arduous, really. And I must say, at the age of 73, it's getting harder and harder. And so the way I've resolved that slight problem is to suggest to younger people that if I pay their airfare, they can come and have an adventure, but they have to carry half the stuff.
And so tell me about your most recent journey. As I understand, you went along the Green River.
Well, I went to the Green River actually last year in order to paint Steamboat Rock. As I was doing this painting, I was looking at this wonderful river swirling past the Steamboat Rock, and I was with a friend from Ketchum, Idaho, and I said, "Hey, Chris, why don't we think about rafting the river?" And so he drafted the river, the Green, several times, and he said, "Yeah, I'll organize it if you like." So we put together a raft trip and went from, only a short trip, unfortunately, from the gates of Lodore to Split Rock, which was basically a 5-day, 4-night trip. And I did a painting every day on that trip, and I'm still finishing those small works at the moment.
When I was looking at your paintings online, I noticed that you have what you call souvenirs on the bottom, and that really intrigued me. How did you decide to start doing that?
Well, I think it's because the paintings aren't simply about, you know, sort of metaphorically putting a frame around a particularly beautiful piece of landscape and copying it. They're much more about trying to explain what it's like to actually live in these places and what it's like to hike into them and to live in a tent and the things that you encounter. And in a way, it's a bit like trying to prove that I've actually been there. So if I come back with some talismanic object that I've found on the way, then that sort of proves I've been there. And so sometimes they're highly symbolic, and sometimes they're slightly political, and sometimes they make a commentary of some sort.
And is there a specific souvenir that stands out to you from your last journey on the Green River?
I went to the most wonderful place, I thought it was wonderful anyway, called Warfield Quarry, which is near a place called Kemmerer. And you can go and chip away at the stone and reveal all sorts of beautiful little fossils of little fish. And I'd wanted to get some of those because I wanted to apply those as souvenirs to the Green River paintings, because this is the Green River formation. And what I wanted to say about that was that the river has this enormous 50 million year history, and although we see it in the present and we enjoy it in the present, it's always been there, and it has this wonderful history, which is revealed by these fabulous little little fossils of fish which will appear on the, underneath the paintings. I'm delighted to found them.
Has your perception of the wild changed in the past 35 years that you've been doing this for?
I suppose I'm more conscious now of just how much under threat it is. When I started, I thought that sort of wildernesses were there because partly because nobody had really thought of a way of exploiting them, and so they'd been left alone, and partly, particularly in America, where they were wonderfully well protected. But since then, I've realized I did a journey in the primary rainforest in Honduras, which was a 14-day journey on a river journey, and it was through absolutely untouched primary forest. But in fact, in the short time since I did that, which is about 12 years, I suppose, the place is now completely overrun with drug runners, and it's been logged, and it's so dangerous to go in there now that you can't go in without the army. And so you realize actually that these places are constantly under threat as soon as anybody thinks of a means of exploiting them.
How does that make you feel, that you still have to go and paint more of these wild places before they maybe change?
Well, it's not so much that I simply want to document places which are about to disappear. I would much prefer to be doing work which in some way inspires people to protect them. And my work, I think most people who see my work think of it as beautiful. And when they see them, they are inspired to think, well, gosh, these places are fantastically beautiful. We really should do everything we can to protect them. And if only I thought that getting that kind of message across would have any impact, then I'd be happier. But I'm not sure really that the trouble is that the pressure against them is so great that I think that a solitary painter bringing back wonderful paintings of fantastically beautiful places may not be enough to protect them, really. I guess in the end, it's about the pressure for exploration against the pressure for preservation. And that's a conflict that's been going on for a very long time in all sorts of areas. And that pressure is increasing, I think.
Well, thank you so much for speaking with me.
Good. Well, I enjoyed that very much. Thanks for our conversation.